This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. We have a great show lined up for you. In the first hour, we will be focusing on the economic situation in the U.S. and around the world. And in the second hour, our focus will be on actual investing ideas to protect and grow your wealth. Before we get into it, a very special congratulation goes out to the Corlin family. Al's daughter gave birth to two adorable baby boys earlier this week, so the big guy is probably busy already teaching them how to swing a golf club. That said, I am very happy to introduce the guest for the first two segments, Mr. David Stockman. Although Mr. Stockman needs no introduction, a brief background includes a 40-year career on Washington and Wall Street, a Capitol Hill staffer, two-term member of Congress, as well as President Ronald Reagan's budget director. Mr. Stockman then went on to Wall Street for two decades as an investment banker and private equity investor. Mr. Stockman, thank you for joining us today.
Very happy to be with you.
All right, David, I want to discuss a book that was just released. I have had the pleasure of reading through it. It is entitled Trump, A Nation on the Brink of Ruin and How to Bring It Back. This is not so much a testimonial on Trump's candidacy, but more of what his campaign is showing as to the individuals on Main Street, how disheartened they are. Let's first start off talking about how we are a nation on the brink of ruin. David, how did we get to this point?
Well, you know, that's the heart of it. I argue we're on the brink of ruin because of 30 years of misrule by the Wall Street, Washington elites, who seem to be addicted to wars abroad, massive expansion of both public and private debt domestically, a rogue central bank that has created enormous and continuous financial bubbles that are undermining the prosperity of Main Street, or what I call flyover America, 90% of the people, and creating enormous and egregious windfall benefits to a very small slice of the population that's either involved in this great casino that Wall Street has become, or owns most of the financial assets. This system is on the brink of ruin because they've taken it to the very edge of sustainability. The Fed is backed into a corner. It's out of dry powder. It's reflated another financial bubble for the third time this century. And now they are basically lining up in a circle and beginning to fire at one another because they have no idea what to do after 94 months of lunacy on the zero bound, as they call it. Washington has backed us into $20 trillion of debt. I have some perspective on that because in 1981, when I was sworn in as OMB director, our first crisis was crossing the $1 trillion mark on the national debt, public debt. So we've gone from $1 trillion then, which isn't all that long ago, less than a lifetime, to $20 trillion, and it's going to grow enormously in the decade ahead because huge deficits are built in. They've wasted the last 4 or 5 years of recovery doing nothing in Washington. Now we have the baby boom retiring in massive numbers, 10,000 a day. Entitlement costs are going to be soaring, and the national debt will easily grow by 10 or 15 trillion in the next 10 years. So we're going to be in a crisis across the financial system. Is going to have another crash. We are facing massive fiscal crisis in Washington, and we have a foreign policy that's utterly failed and created, you know, failed states and terrorist blowback all around the world for no good purpose. So that's kind of the indictment. And as I say, the book is not a testimonial for Trump. It's an indictment of the existing ruling elites, the existing direction of policy, and the reason that Trump has arisen, I think, is not because of his winning personality. It's not a winning personality. It's because the people are desperate, and they want sweeping change. They want the establishment sent packing, thrown out, and Trump has become the vehicle of protest and insurrection. Where that leads is the great question of this election and after, but I think we're at an inflection point that is totally different than what we've experienced over the last 30 years.
What an amazing election we are going through right now with two very different candidates in terms of how I think the general public view these two people. But David, let's talk about some of these ZERP and QE policies that the Fed and, quite frankly, other banks around the world have enacted. You're right, they haven't helped out the general public. They have more or less led to asset bubbles in the markets as well as making the 1% even more wealthy. Do you think that this was done intentionally by the central banks around the world, or are their models just so broken that they don't know what's going on?
I think it's more the latter. It's the broken model. It's the Keynesian model that was only good for a limited time historically in which there were low levels of private debt, particularly in the households. And so, therefore, if you pushed interest rates abnormally low for a period of time, you could induce people to borrow more money, to leverage up their balance sheet effectively, commit their future income to interest payments, but therefore have more to spend today and thereby goose the economy, stimulate the economy. Now, you know, that is what I call in my book a one-time Keynesian parlor trick, because once you reach peak debt, and I just say that's a condition we got to by 2008, in which people have so much debt they can't borrow or service anymore, then driving interest rates lower and lower does nothing for the Main Street economy. It, in fact, the effect of it never leaves the canyons of Wall Street. And all of this cheap money essentially funds the carry trades, speculation of one type or another, where people borrow short at almost no cost in order to purchase assets that they think are going to appreciate or that have a yield like junk bonds or even longer-term treasuries that is far in excess of the carry cost of the cheap overnight money. So what I'm saying is the model is broken. The model is irrelevant in a world of peak debt, and we're not only at peak debt in the United States, where we have $64 trillion of public and private debt combined, but it's more or less true in Europe. It's surely true in Japan, where their total debt-to-GDP ratio is like 500%. Ours is 350%. Here we can get into some of those numbers, but the point is it's a broken model.
Well, and that is one of the biggest concerns, David, is that the model that these central banks are working off seems to be similar all around the world and does not seem to be working. Japan undertook this, 20 years ago, and still is yet to see any sort of inflation, but they definitely see a larger and larger debt. And the U.S., China, Europe, we're all going down that same path of trying to print more money, trying to expand debt to bring on inflation. And that's a whole other topic, but we will be having you back on next segment. Everybody, stick around. We're going to be right back.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
We use mobile devices right against our bodies every day, but growing scientific evidence has emerged showing serious health risks associated with exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The solution is Defender Shield, the most effective mobile radiation shielding ever developed. Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation from cell phones, tablets, and laptops, and starts at just $64.99. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. For 10% off, use promo code GCN. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in mobile radiation shielding.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
There is an affordable alternative to the high cost of healthcare that offers freedom from insurance while providing compliance with the Obamacare individual mandate. Imagine having access to quality, affordable healthcare that allows you the freedom to choose your doctor and hospital. Members can share up to 100% of necessary medical expenses, including some alternative treatments. Find out how you and your family can contain healthcare costs without giving up your freedom. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug-out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry My Pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. Continuing our conversation with David Stockman. David, we ended last segment talking about how the models that central bankers are using are, quite frankly, broken. Let's now switch focus and talk about these actual central bankers and why they seem to be stuck using these broken models.
that are Keynesians. They have one tool. It's like the carpenter with a hammer, and everything looks like a nail. And so they bang and bang and bang away on the interest rate, and have done that ever since December 2008, and it sits at zero for all practical purposes, and it has only created massive bubble distortions in the financial system. And that is not just, you know, a harmless kind of undeserved windfall to speculators and traders. It also has harnessed the corporate leadership, what I call the C-suites of America, the people that run the companies, into the process of leveraging their balance sheet in order to buy back stock and do M&A deals and engage in financial engineering that does not add one iota to the productivity of the economy, but provides further massive flows of cash into the casino, as I call it, the financial market, thereby helping to inflate stock prices and other asset prices even further. So if we look at, for instance, real business investment after depreciation, it's still 20% lower today than it was in the year 2000. In other words, all of this cheap money has not gone into investment and expanding the productive base of the Main Street economy. It has gone into financial engineering and inflating the price of existing assets. So that means the people who were, you know, the great masses who work for the big companies of America are being, you know, double whammied. On the one hand, their companies are investing less and their jobs are less secure. And on the other hand, you have a Fed that's taken their savings down to zero, so they're making no return on whatever they might have saved. And you have a Fed committed to a 2% inflation rate, which these Keynesians repeat over and over like it's some kind of mantra, magic elixir. That actually is the worst thing you could do to workers in America that you could imagine, because our wages, our nominal costs in America are the highest in the world, and we're competing with the China price on goods and what I call the India price on offshoreable services, you know, like back office sales support and so forth. And what the last thing we need is 2% inflation year after year. If anything, the target ought to be zero or even negative so that we could become more competitive in the global market. And again, that is something that in kind of a glancing way, Trump has seized on this massive trade deficit with the rest of the world. But I think he's got the diagnosis wrong. It's not because they've made bad trade deals in the Commerce Department or USTR. It's because the Fed has so inflated the U.S. economy over the last 30 years that we have become less and less competitive, and we've more or less offshored the good jobs that flyover America knows has disappeared. And that's why it's responding to Trump. Now, when it comes to solutions, and we'll get to that next, there's a different direction to go, but at least it's part of the explanation for why flyover America is saying we've had enough, the current regime is failing, and we want sweeping change.
Well, to your point there, David, some of the biggest supporters of Trump are those middle-class workers that have seen either their jobs get shipped offshore or, quite frankly, their money not go as far as the, I guess, big banks and the political sphere would want them to believe. There is another couple points that I want to touch on that you address, and that is business spending. We're seeing cash get stuck on the balance sheet of large corporations, and all they're doing is buying back shares. Even M&A activity is down. They're not buying equipment. Is there any way in your eyes that the Fed or anybody else can get these companies, A, spending money, but B, also spending money within the country?
Yes, there's a very simple way, and that is basically what Trump inadvertently pointed to Monday night. We have got to let this bubble collapse. We have to let get the Fed out of Wall Street, out of the business of rigging interest rates and the yield curve and propping up the stock market, and allow honest price discovery to happen once again. Because if you do that, the corporate leadership of America will start responding to proper price signals. Right now, with their stock price going constantly up, whether they're earning more money or not, they can't seem to avoid the temptation to borrow money, which is cheap, because all the money managers of the world have to find yield. So they can borrow cheap, both investment grade or even high yield, and use the proceeds to do unproductive deals and buy back stock and to pay dividends they haven't earned and so forth. It's a massive financial engineering diversion of capital, which you could stop instantly if you abolish the FOMC, the Federal Open Market Committee. Get them out of the market and let the Fed go back to its original provision, its original mission as a standby source of market priced liquidity. And after a few years of some great hardship for the billionaires and gamblers, the system would start to work again. And you wouldn't ask, well, should Washington direct capital or should the Fed direct capital? Capitalism is a wonderful engine. Just let it work. Try it. And we have destroyed capitalism at the heart of where it operates, and that is in the financial system and in the pricing of financial assets.
Well, I don't want to put words in your mouth here, David, but it sounds like, and something that I truly believe, the one thing that the Fed has been extremely good at is ruining the business cycle. Your comments?
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, they claim that the reason they do all of this meddling and intervention and interest rate pegging is because they have to tame the business cycle, because otherwise capitalism is recklessly, wildly unstable and is constantly, you know, underperforming and falling on its face and collapsing into recessions and depressions and black holes and so forth. That is nonsense. That is a narrative that's been created historically by people who want power and want to rule through the central bank.
Unfortunately, we are out of time for this segment, but David, you're going to stick around for one more segment. I appreciate that. Everybody, stick around. We're going to be right back.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's FIVESTARSOAP.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
As a doctor, I see patients every day who are losing their vision and independence to age-related macular degeneration, also known as AMD. It's the leading cause of blindness in adults 55 and older. Some of us are at greater risk for AMD. If you have blurry vision or blind spots, they can be symptoms of AMD. If left untreated, it can lead to blindness. The good news? With early detection, AMD can be managed with effective clinically approved treatments that can reduce or even reverse some vision loss. Learning that you have AMD can be scary, but there's hope and help. The Foundation Fighting Blindness is researching and developing treatments and cures for AMD. To get your free AMD information packet, contact the Foundation Fighting Blindness today at 1-800-BLINDNESS. That's 1-800-BLINDNESS. Join the fight against AMD, because together there is a cure in sight.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care, as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. You are continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report, our third and final segment with Mr. David Stockman. David, to start off with this segment, let's continue our discussion about the business cycle and how it essentially has been broken thanks to central bankers' actions.
I go through this to some degree in my book. All of the business cycles since World War II, since 1950, let's say, are either simply a cooling off that needed to occur at the end of a war campaign. Korea and Vietnam, where the economy got overheated and overtaxed, but don't have wars and you won't have post-war recessions. Or secondly, as a result of the central bank creating so much credit so rapidly that you had an inflationary boom that had to be curtailed. And that's really what the cycles were in the late 70s and early 80s and even 1990. So my argument is, if you stop making war and if you stop printing money, that is, control the Pentagon, control the Eccles building, the Fed, capitalism will take care of itself. And the business cycle will come and go. But if you have honest interest rates, that's the key thing, free market interest rates, the cycles will be short-lived and self-correcting, because if you get too much speculation going, then the market price of money, short-term money, is going to rise rapidly. Some speculators are going to lose their lunch quick. The system will be purged of excesses and speculation and unwarranted debt. And life then moves on. And, you know, the whole myth is that you need 12 people sitting on the FOMC to do a job that the marketplace and millions and tens of millions of investors and savers and capital users are capable of doing on their own.
All right, David, one more question before we get into how to actually solve this problem, although I feel like we've addressed some of the issues already. Earlier in the interview, you mentioned this retiring generation that is happening, as well as almost in the same sentence talking about entitlements. These are two situations that the U.S. is dealing with that I think are putting the U.S. in just a horrible situation. They don't have enough money to even cover the current debt, let alone all these future expenses that are going to be incurred. What are your comments on how to deal with this?
Well, first is to get the diagnosis right. When they tell you that Social Security is going to be solvent till 2033 or something, so we've got plenty of time to contemplate a solution, they are totally wrong. That's based on a rosy scenario projection of rates of job growth and income growth and productivity growth that haven't happened for 30 years and are not about to happen now. I have a chapter where I show detailed empirical analysis of data that Social Security, even this phony trust fund with all these assets that aren't real, but they count them on a bookkeeping basis, will be insolvent by 2026, which is, less than 10 years from now, and there will be a massive automatic 30% cutback in Social Security benefits if that happens. Now, the reason that Washington isn't alert to this today is that they've got these phony economic forecasts that create the illusion that there is plenty of time to deal with the crisis. But
again, broken model.
Broken model, again, it's sort of, it actually says the current projections, if you could believe this, assume that there's no recession through 2026. Okay, the last one was 2009. So you do the math, it's 207 months without a recession. The longest period in history without one is 119 months. That was in the 1990s before we had half of these problems accumulated, before the Fed went berserk printing money, before the debt was 100% of GDP. Back then it was 30%. Before we had to deal with the red Ponzi in China that's about ready to come crashing down on the global economy and all the other headwinds that you're facing today. So what I'm saying is it's crazy. It is irresponsible. It's reckless to assume no recession, no economic setback for 207 months when it's never happened in history, even under much more favorable circumstances. So if we get a recession, the federal deficit will be back into the trillions almost overnight. And if we get a recession, all of the Social Security so-called actuarial projections are completely wrong, and the insolvency crisis in the accounting sense that I talk about it will come barreling down on the Beltway politicians. And that's why, the next 4 to 8 years are going to be what I call, the days of reckoning.
All right, David, it's scary to think of, but, some of their models and some of their assumptions just seem absolutely right. Crazy to me, and I'm an accountant, so I like to look at things, I like to think with a level head. Now, to wrap this up, one part that I liked about your book and that I appreciate is that you do offer a way forward, and in your book, you offer, I believe it is, 10 great deals that you think the American leader, or at least American general, needs to make. You don't need to share all those with us, because I really do think people need to read this book. But what are a couple that you would like to share?
Well, the first one is, let's put the context. Donald Trump, whatever his virtues or vices, considers himself the world's greatest deal maker. If he happens to get elected, I said, why don't you think about this through the framework of great deals that could fundamentally change the direction of the country and history? So the first one is a peace deal. We don't have any enemies in the world that we need to have. By that, I mean industrial states. So go make a peace deal with Putin, which is easy. Agree to get rid of NATO, which is obsolete. We don't need it. Agree to reduce the defense budget by $200 or $300 billion, which we could easily do. And work and cooperate with Russia in the Middle East to get out of this morass that we're in Syria and Iraq, and allow Russia's own allies, the Shia, to take care of the ISIS, which wouldn't last more than a few months, in my judgment. That's the starting point. A peace deal begins to change everything. The second deal is what I call a jobs deal. And that basically says we have offshored millions of good jobs. You can't get them back simply by throwing up massive trade barriers at this late game, stage of the game. But you can at least give American labor a new, more competitive playing field by dramatically reducing taxes on labor. And by that, I mean the payroll tax. Get rid of it. It's $1.1 trillion a year. It's 15%, half employee, half employer, that reduce take-home pay on the one hand and increase the cost of business on the other and result on the margin in jobs going offshore. Let's bring them back by taxing consumption and imports that we've got too much of, rather than jobs and labor that we desperately need more of. So that's what I call the jobs deal. A third deal is the sound money deal. And that goes to this whole discussion we've been having about the Fed. I think we can talk more about that in a moment. But essentially it says eliminate the open market committee. Go back to the original mandate or mission, which is a banker's bank. Let interest rates be set by the free market and provide liquidity at the free market rate with a penalty when qualifying banks bring good collateral. It would change the whole system from Keynesian central planning to free market prosperity.
What a change that would be, David. I cannot begin to express my gratitude for you taking some time and joining us on the KE Report. David, I have to say it's a pleasure talking to you. I highly recommend everybody picking up this book. Again, it's entitled Trump, A Nation on the Brink of Ruin and How to Bring It Back.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
This is a healthcare alert from the Pain Relief Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You don't have to suffer any longer. You can immediately qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you by calling our 24/7 pain relief hotline at 866-389-0620. Delivery is free and all paperwork is handled for you. If you are on Medicare and have knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain, don't wait. You can qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost by calling our 24/7 pain hotline now at 866-389-0620. Our representatives are standing by 24/7 to take your call and rush you your pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you. Shipping is free and all paperwork is handled for you. Just call 866-389-0620. That's 866-389-0620. Again, 866-389-0620.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Investment Rarities, a 43-year-old company, has created the best silver offer ever. Get a U.S. Silver Eagle, Canadian Maple Leaf, Austrian Philharmonic, OPM Pure Bar, and Silver Round. Have all five for $99 postpaid. You heard me right, 5 ounces of silver below cost. No credit card fees, free shipping. Just $99 and you'll have a great start on what it takes to survive even the worst economic storm. Act now and receive Jim Cook's exclusive paper explaining how it's possible to make a fortune in silver today. Don't miss this opportunity. Call 800-328-1860. Read how the above-ground supply of silver has dropped below even gold. The secret is being suppressed. The price could explode at any time. Call today at 800-328-1860. Get 5 ounces of silver for only $99. Find them on the web at investmentrarities.com or call 800-328-1860. Call now before it's too late. 800-328-1860.
Is negative content or comments on the web affecting your personal or professional reputation? Unfavorable comments, embarrassing pictures, videos, legal documents, and negative articles can ruin your personal life, your career, or your business. It happens a lot, and it's just not fair. But what can you do? ReputationDefender.com can help protect your good name. Get a free consultation now. Call 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Call right now for a free expert reputation analysis. It's easy to squash the unfair attacks with our patented system, and the analysis is absolutely free. Make the best things about you jump out in searches. Protect your personal and professional reputation, your business, and your income. Get your free reputation analysis from ReputationDefender.com right now. Call 800-831-0771. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com today.
Welcome back. Here to wrap up the first hour of the weekend edition, we are chatting with Dan Oliver. Very interesting guy. Regular listeners are aware that Dan is on our show almost every, at least every other week. He's a very bright guy. He's just finished a book, which we're going to talk about at some point. But what we're going to talk about here is Dan is, among other things, an avid student of economic history. We were chatting off mic about the Federal Reserve and the interest that the Federal Reserve has in the current administration, not necessarily the current administration right now being Obama, but going back in history, going back to when Nixon was the president and Arthur Burns was the Fed chairman, had an interesting thing happen in those days. You know, big difference between the Nixon administration, to say the least, and the Obama, and as the Democrats are hoping, the Clinton administration, if that comes to pass, which I certainly hope it does not. But let's go back to the days of Arthur Burns and Richard Nixon. What happened back then vis-a-vis the Fed, Dan?
Yeah, well, before I get there, I just want to pick up on your comment about economic history. I spent last week at a conference with a bunch of economists and professors of the right-wing persuasion. One of the things they were saying, which is true, is that economic history isn't taught anymore. It's not taught in economic courses. From their perspective, the world began with Keynes, and you have to do heavy, heavy math and these ridiculous models to get your degree. And, of course, then you go to Wall Street. Our job is really as a marketer. You know, the Wall Street banks themselves have reached reports, which you can look up, and they know themselves their economists are horrible at forecasting the future, which is what their job is. It's meant to sound good and attract assets. They're just marketing guys. And, of course, history departments don't teach economic history except through the lens of colonial oppression and race and gender and all that nonsense. So there's really no one, you know, who's publishing on this topic and is aware of it. And it's, you know, my interest, because I firmly believe, as has been the case all through history, that that real intellectuals realize that if you understand the past, human nature doesn't change, and so it gives you a great insight into the present and the future, which is why I spend so much time looking at economic history, not just for some sort of academic, esoteric interest, but as practical guide to what's going to happen. And as I mentioned to you, I'm reading a book on Volcker, and I came across a wonderful quotation by President Nixon to Arthur Burns, the chairman of the Federal Reserve, in 1971, where he said, quote, "I don't want to go out of town fast," unquote. And a month later, Burns called up the president and said, "I wanted you to know that we were reducing the discount rate today." And then he called up and said that a month later and said, we're going to decrease the discount rate a second time. And so there you have it. I mean, these are sort of the part of Nixon tapes as well, how this stuff came out. But you know, here we have a record of a conversation between the Fed chairman and the president changing interest rates, which is supposed to be the cost of capital to the entire economy, for pure political motivations. And you know, the idea that the Fed operates any differently today than it did back then is I think, very naive. You know, commentators were shocked that after all of those Jackson Hole speeches where Janet Yellen and all her flunkies got up and started talking about how the economy's recovery continues. I mean, the recovery since 2008 continues, and now we're ready for interest rate hikes. And, of course, Hillary's not doing well in the polls. And so they stood pat in September. They know very well, as we've discussed, that they're in a real box. The second they raise rates, the banks are going to have major problems. The markets have major problems. The economy's have major problems. But they can't lower rates because if they do that, then the insurance industry rolls over. People start hoarding cash and you know, maybe gold and all those sorts of things. So they're really, really stuck. But what they don't want is Donald Trump to win. That's for sure. So I think their motivation is to keep the boat from being too unstable before the elections in November.
Well, Dan, there's no question in my mind that the Fed is still very powerful, even though I think some people are losing confidence in what they are doing. Fact of the matter is the Fed is the central bank of largest economy in the world. They do hold a lot of power, and they do have their hand in a political sense, but they also have their hand in, obviously, the banking sector, because technically that's who they should be watching out for. But then even on top of that, in a general public sense, in my eyes, they at least try to be some sort of a confidence builder. They obviously want the economy to be growing and everybody, or at least most people, to be doing very well. But the position they've gotten themselves into is, well, very difficult, quite frankly. And around the world, we're dealing with the same situation. So in your eyes, how do you think the Fed balances not only the political aspect, but also catering to the banks and also playing this confidence game to try to shed a positive light on what's going on for the general public?
Yeah, well, I wouldn't be quite so idealistic. I mean, back in the 50s and earlier, the motto was, what's good for GM is good for the country, right? This idea that industrial might was the center of American power. And today it's really what's good for Goldman Sachs is good for the country. I mean, the idea being that Goldman Sachs finances all the activity, and that's what makes it go. So if Goldman has a problem, the country has a problem. So the Fed, by looking after Goldman, looks after the country. I mean, it's this trickle-down mentality that is sort of reminiscent of mercantilism. And don't forget also, I mean, that actually is the idealistic way to look at it. It's incorrect, of course, but it's how they do. That's how they say they look at it. But the reality is that all these guys either come from investment banks, they go back to banks, and they make huge fortunes before and after. So, you know, I think to presume the Fed has motivations greater than the personal avarice of its members is a little bit of a jump. But to the extent that they do have political ambitions, of course, is to support the statist leftist party. I mean, all of Wall Street's supporting Hillary. I saw an article recently saying that all the Fortune 500 CEOs are all supporting Hillary. They're all involved in this crony capitalist nexus, and they're desperate for her to win, so they can continue on the party of war and bailouts. And that's what they all want. So that's what the Fed wants, because that it has created this huge diversity of wealth and concentration of wealth and power at the top, and that's what they protect.
Well, I want you to try this idea on for size, if you would. My comment about raising interest rates in September was purely and simply as follows. Number one, I said they can't do it. But if they do it, it's only going to be for one reason, and that one reason is strictly eyewash. If the Fed raises interest rates, that implies to the general public, and the general public doesn't have the expertise, the economic expertise, for example, that the three of us do, or any of the guests on our show, for that matter. They kind of go with the headlines, for lack of better terms. And so if they had raised interest rates even a quarter to a half a point, that would have been good for Hillary. I felt that was the only reason that they might take that approach. But I said, you know, if you want to look at sensibility, if you want to look at true responsibility, they cannot raise interest rates. The fundamentals of the United States economy and the economies of the world, for the most part, simply cannot support what I would call normal interest rates. I mean, come on, close to zero interest rates on 10-year bonds. Our country can't even pay its debt at the current interest rate. You raise interest rates back to normal. What would a normal interest rate be, for example, Dan, on the 10-year bond? I guarantee
you. Well, I mean, 4 or 5%.
Exactly.
It's worse than that because the assumption of Wall Street, I think, is that that rates are going to go up, and so the longer we wait, the more likely there is they'll raise rates. And you see that in the futures markets for rate expectations. And my view is very, very different, which is that to my mind, we've already hit the peak of the credit cycle. We're going down the other side. You see it in business profit margins. You see it all over the world in commodity demand, all sorts of things. And so in my mind, the longer they put off the raise, the less likely it is they'll ever raise interest rates. And so to your point, they simply can't raise rates. They couldn't raise. It was too risky to do in September for Hillary. I think that by the time December comes along, the economy will look even worse. And now, if Trump is president, they'll jack it up, massive high to screw him. They're in a box. Again, they can't lower it because if they do that, then negative interest rates has all sorts of profound implications for the banking system, people who are buying cash, and unraveling the fractional reserve system. And if they raise it, then there'll be a big hole where Wall Street used to be when the derivative collapses. So they're pretty screwed.
Well, and I think that is the biggest issue right now, is that none of these central banks have the right answer or any answer of how to get out of the situation that they've put the world in. They just are consistently trying to kick this can further down the road and keep everything somewhat levitated, and that just leads into further and further issues, unfortunately. And that's why the Fed, even though they aren't cutting rates right now like a lot of other central banks are talking about, they're also not raising interest rates, and that's shown that they even are struggling more, I think, than some of the other central banks, because they don't know what to do and they can't take a lead and get the economy back on track. And it's not just the U.S. it's unfortunately the globe. There's just a lot of situations that this world needs to figure out how to get through, and unfortunately the central banks are not providing us with any answers. Dan, unfortunately we're out of time. Thank you for your time. Everybody stick around. We're going to be right back with the second hour.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Have you ever thought you'd like to flip houses but didn't know how or where to get the money? Are you ready to be your own boss so you can start living the good life? Hi, I'm Preston Neely. I used to be so broke. I had my electricity turned off 9 times, but I figured out a way to quit my job and find financial freedom in real estate. For a limited time, I want to send you a free copy of my smash hit selling book, How to Get Rich in Real Estate. It shows you how to copy exactly what I did so you can make money from the comfort of your own home without even doing any manual labor. I've already given away 5,000 books and they're going fast. To get one before they're gone, call 1-800-958-9256. Listen, if you're sick and tired of stressing about money, this book could change your life. It's short, fun to read, easy to understand, and awesome. To find out how to get your free book while supplies last, call 1-800-958-9256. Call 1-800-958-9256. 1-800-958-9256.
ProPure Water Filters, making water great again. Taste and feel the difference with state-of-the-art filter technology. Pro-1, G2.0, and Pro-Max filters are independent lab-tested to NSF standards. Choose from gravity, countertop, pitcher, shower, and inline filtration products. There's a ProPure for you. Buy risk-free today. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
Fully cooked, ready to eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready to eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and serve. Life-saving, ready to eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.